Translation: O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting. But rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. Srila Prabhupada's purport ki. Many Kshatriyas have laid down their lives on the battlefield for their nations. But hardly a person can be found who has given up all his property and his accumulated wealth in charity to a person worthy of the gift. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 17:20, Tatavyam iti yad tanam niyate nupa karine deshakale kale cha patra cha taddanam satvikam. Satvikam smratam. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. Thus charity given in the proper place is called satvika. And above this charity in goodness is transcendental charity, in which everything is sacrificed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had come to Bali Maharaj for alms. How could one get such an opportunity to give charity? Therefore, Bali Maharaj decided without hesitation to give the Lord whatever he wanted. One may get various opportunities to lay down his life on the battlefield, but such an opportunity as this is hardly ever obtained. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirveshe Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. She'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I think maybe especially for boys when they're younger, idea of a battlefield sounds very exciting. When I was 5 years old, 5 or 6, Mahabharata used to come on BBC Two. And he would, Mahabharata Katha, boom, boom. This really gets you going, you know. Be like a big warrior. And then kids are also into G.I. Joe, Commando, and things like that. We used to put mud on our faces, wanting to look like someone, an exalted army person, SAS, and things like that. And I always thought if I don't pass my university or degree or anything like that, I'd join the army. These were types of thoughts I always had as a backup in my life. And we see that heroes are very exalted, these heroes that are on the battlefield. There's one explanation by Jayadvaita Maharaj, which I like very much, talking about exaltedness and field of interest. And in here he says, a man who is selfish, no one really thinks of much of him. He's just okay, you know, I've got a neighbor next door, he doesn't do much, he's okay. But then if you hear someone has a son, even if the person is a bad person, but if he's taking care of his son, people are like, you know what, he might be a bad person, he might just be on benefits, and I know he does some dodgy things, but he's a good dad, he's a good father, So because he has a more field of interest, he also taking care not of himself, also taking care of a son. And then when someone is taking care of the whole family, it's like he's a good guy, he's a family man. You know? And then someone is taking care of the whole neighborhood, he is also considered very nice, like the neighborhood watch person or something like this. I've explained this before, this point comes up because we're talking about battlefield and how heroic it is to be on the battlefield. But someone who's taking care of the whole country is very exalted. Therefore, they're regarded as heroes. When they come, they're regarded as heroes. So this is very, you don't get this opportunity much to be, even if you go into the army, it doesn't mean you would definitely fight. We know people who also have joined the army, but have never actually been on a battlefield. So it's very exalted to be on a battlefield. Here it's saying, Srila Prabhupada says, one may get various opportunities to lay down his life on the battlefield. But such an opportunity as this is hardly ever obtained, to be able to give your wealth to a saintly person. First of all, just how rare is the human form? We're all here. We're all spiritual beings from the spiritual world. And somehow or other we have the human form of life. Very, very rare. Example is given. Literally, a tortoise coming out of an ocean and a log of wood floating by and a hole in that ocean. It's a hole in that log of wood. And then the head of the turtle going right in that hole. That's how rare it is. But we don't generally think like that. We think, wow, you know, it might be a bit exaggerated. You know, it's like, come on, you know, we're all human here. But even if we just check every square tile here, and we're all probably fit on one, maybe a couple of us take a couple of square tiles, but even in one, there's so many bacterium, so many living entities, even in just in that, and even in the air, and even within our body, Srila Prabhupada explains there's so many living entities, from bacteria to worms to different things. So there's so many different souls. So for you, out of all of those thousands of souls, to have the human form of life is very rare. So it's definitely not to be wasted. I went to one class and His Grace Nandan Prabhu very nicely explained, if you've got a nail in the wall that you need to bang, you use a hammer. You don't use a violin. And it could work, a violin could work, but this is not real intelligence. It's not you making best use. If you have a winning lottery ticket, you cash it in. You don't just use it for like smoking paper or something like that. So this is the human form of life. Okay, human form of life, that's nice. But then to be involved in yoga practice is so rare. I don't know the figures, I've heard different figures, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000. And then out of 1 in 1,000,000 gyanis, gyan yogas, yogis, one does bhakti. So Prabhupada does also say 1 in 1,000,000. I've also heard different figures. The point, it is very, 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 very rare. It's an opportunity. And in this material world, we have so many opportunities to so many activities. And we get fun out of doing any activity generally. If you've got a good friend circle, if you've got a good, everything's going good. This is not the real thing. It's just like broken glass. But this real diamond is very, very rare. Why is it rare? Because if you get an opportunity to serve Krishna, you will actually get to a point where you will actually control Krishna with your love. Krishna is not going to put himself in a position just to be controlled by anyone that easily. And he's not going to make it cheap. And time is ticking. It's a very rare opportunity to come across this Krishna consciousness and have this human form of life. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Allahabad. And this friend was at his last days. He had money as well. And he said to the doctor, I give you money, help me, I want 4 more years. And Srila Prabhupada says, this is ridiculous notion. This is nonsense. Because when death comes, everything will be taken away. When death comes, there won't be no waiting. So how long do we think is left? Generally, we all think we've already planned. Like from my practices and thing, I assume I'll live up to 68. And that's my assumption. I would have made it 70, but the amount of cholesterol and stuff I have, maybe a little less. I know. But you have a sort of an idea of how long you'll live. Srila Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, why are you giving sannyas to these young boys? Sannyas is for older people. Why are you giving it to young people? And Prabhupada says, well, what's the meaning of old age? And he couldn't really answer. And he just waited for... And Srila Prabhupada says, old age means one who is closer to death. Can you guarantee that you are closer to death than me? That you will die before me? After me? Is that a guarantee? And because he couldn't, then anyway, Prabhupada got his point there, that he says, in the material world, we are all old. And time is ticking, and we have to take opportunity of this. So give everything to Krishna. That's what it's about. And if you don't give, at the time of death, you'll lose anyway. If we just look at a few verses before, it says, my Lord, this is Bali Maharaj talking, my Lord, you can see that all material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmana Vamanadeva is not satisfied by whatever gifts are given, why not just please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? If you're going to lose it at death anyway, why not do something now and just do it a little earlier and give it to the Lord? Prabhupada says in this purport, very nice, the Lord personally appeared to Bali Maharaj to take everything away he had. And thus was so fortunate that he could see the Lord face to face. Non-devotees, however, cannot see the Lord face to face. To such person, the Lord appears as death and takes away all the possessions by force. So then we may also say, well, come on, we're not really seeing the Lord face to face neither. We're not in that situation. But the fact is, even if the Lord was face to face, if you don't have the right mentality, you still won't end up giving to the Lord. The story of the washerman is there, that Krishna enters into Mathura. This is like, I'm trying to give an example of Lord Vamanadev coming to us. In the same way Krishna is coming now to Mathura. And then when he comes, he asks this washerman, because these are very nice cloth, because he used to dye cloth and wash the cloth. Because this is nice cloth, give it to me, you'll be fortunate, and I'm the right person for the cloth. And he had an answer like, this is such impudence. It does not belong to you. This is for the king. And I won't give it you. And what's interesting here is Krishna then just, with his hand, just hits him, cuts his head off. And when I read this, I then found an interesting point. And then after he cuts his head off, the washerman also had servants as well. So even they like scattered off. You know, therefore, okay, don't mess with this guy. Our boss is gone. But then what Krishna does, he then picks up the cloth, he checks out the ones he likes, and he wears it anyway. He wears all the cloth. And then Balaram checks, and he gives them to the coward boys, and the cloth they didn't like, they just left it. So what's interesting is, whether you choose to give or not, Krishna will take it anyway. But wouldn't it have been exalted for the washerman to have given? He would have been in the same category as the hunchback lady who gave the sandalwood paste, Sudama, the florist. It would have been exalted. But now when we talk about the washerman, we all have a bit of a giggle. Oh yeah, he was a bit of an impudent one, you know, got his head cut off. Yeah, it's just a whole, and that's forever. This is pastimes forever. So same way, whatever you're doing now will be, it's like an eternal pastime if you do the right thing. But if you don't give, it's, and obviously he's very exalted, the washerman also. The point is, this is the real thing, to have the reputation of being a devotee and to give to Krishna, because he'll take anyway. Giving is for our benefit, ultimately. And the Lord is so pleased. I've given this example before, but it gets the point across. A little child goes to the kitchen, takes a biscuit, and then comes to the living room and gives to the father. The father is pleased. The father takes the biscuit. Father doesn't think, oh, this is mine anyway. Why have you just, what's the big deal here? You've given me something. It was already mine. No, the father is pleased. Father is happy. And what more to actually please the Supreme Lord? One who worships Ganga Devi says that they do their bath in Ganga and then they take some water from Ganga Devi and then they offer it back. It doesn't decrease the Ganga by taking anything away from it, nor does it increase the Ganga Devi. But one becomes more exalted and is famed as a devotee of Ganga Devi. In the same way, when you decorate your face, ladies mainly do that, makeup. I know men have started to do it nowadays. But then the reflection also looks beautiful. When the face looks beautiful, the reflection also looks beautiful. Same way, when you make Krishna rich, he's already rich, but if you try to make him rich, you decorate him, then automatically you will also become rich. You will automatically be beautiful. As Srinivas Prabhu explained a few days ago, and if you don't decorate the Lord, then you yourself will remain impoverished. Like that. So if we see the story of the hunchback lady, that Krishna comes with his coward boys and he comes, and it's quite funny actually, he calls the hunchback lady, hey, tall lady, you know, like this. If someone else did that, this would be like discrimination against the disabled or something. And it would be really, really wrong. But when Krishna does it, it's very glorified. And what he does is, he asks again for this sandalwood paste. And she recognizes that this is actually for the king. But she admits herself that there's no better person than to give it then to you. And then she smears it all over his body and Balaram's body. And then Krishna becomes pleased. So simply by making the offering to Krishna, you will actually then get personal association also of Krishna, and you'll be personally with Krishna. And here she is touching his body, Supreme Personality of Godhead's body, just because of that fact that she offered. And then Krishna then, that's one thing, the spiritual that comes out of it, the spiritual benefits. What to speak of then also, the things that we may be after, the material benefits. He makes her very beautiful, he lifts her up, puts his foot on her toe, and lifts her up, holds her chin, and she becomes most beautiful out of all of the ladies. So this is very interesting that all she offered, and it wasn't hers anyway, she recognized it wasn't mine. She also recognized that it did belong to the king. So most of our possessions, as if we may have it, I own it, or my family owns it, or, well, I've got to speak to my wife first, or I've got to speak to my husband first. But here, she's just giving. And then she's glorified. Same with the florist, Sudama. When Krishna enters into Mathura, he invites to the house and then the florist gives two garlands to Krishna and Balaram. And his desire is that I just want to be always engaged in service. That's his desire. And Krishna fulfills that benediction and then fulfills the other thing, which is to give him full material opulence as well. But this is in the mood of giving to the Lord. So now I was thinking then, okay, when do people generally give their wealth over? When are people willing to splash the cash? Well, one thing is, I didn't go out much, but I used to go out now and again, back in the day. And, for example, if you're in a club, or if you're with your friends, but if there's someone who's you're attracted to, yeah, I say it's chatting up, using flamboyant chat up lines when you're extravagant dating or something. So when someone is very beautiful, one is willing to then spend a lot of money. I used to know a few girls, they were my friends, and they used to just show me all the things, gifts, that guys would just buy them. And they wouldn't even get with the guys, but the guys were in hope that, oh, you know, she will then one day get with me. She was showing me, you know, a Gucci bag and all of her. She even had like gold. She was showing me one friend I had. We used to call her the gold digger, but she was She had, but what did she have? She had beauty. And that's what happens is when we're attracted to someone, we very easily can give wealth. It's not difficult because we're attracted. But then I thought, okay, who's the most attractive? Krishna. This is what Srila Prabhupada says about Krishna's beauty. And he goes, some way or other you become attracted to Krishna, then your business is successful. Rupa Goswami has advised that, he says in a poetry, it's on a matter of the gopis talking, one gopi is advising another gopi that, my dear friend, you know, the idea is that one gopi is advising another gopi, my dear friend, there is one boy, his name is Govinda. He is standing on the bank of the Yamuna near the Kesi Ghat, and he's playing on his flute. And he's so beautiful that especially during full moon night, please do not go there. Why? Now, because if you have got intention to enjoy in this material world with your family members, wife, children, husband, please do not go there. Because Krishna's attraction is that beautiful. So when you understand Krishna is so beautiful, and you're also able to easily give to him. Okay, where else do we give our money? Someone was telling me the other day that in Bank of India are doing but they're giving about 9 or 10% interest on ISA accounts. So if you've got £5,000 you give them, after a year you get £500. Huh? If you've got more than £50,000, you get £5,000, like that. £500,000, you're looking at £50,000 a year. That's a good investment. That's worth putting money over. So, but what better investment than in Krishna consciousness? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. A little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So this is talking about that there's no loss. Krishna also says, in whatever way one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. My spiritual master, he gives an explanation that you get interest from a bank, and this interest that you get from the spiritual bank, the interest rate is always growing and it's lasting forever. So the real investment is to give to Krishna. And when we understand this, again, we will be able to give our wealth. Another thing, where would I've gave money before to my parents. Because I know that ultimately there's some security there. They care for me. They'll hold the money for me. They won't cheat me. But who is the best parent? Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. But the difference between Krishna and our parent may care for us, but they don't really know what's best for us. It's like having a very good friend in a company. Good friend in a company, he wants you to get the promotion, but you don't have no power, so he can't get you the promotion. Or you have someone who has got power in a company, he can just get your promotion like that, but he's not your friend, so he's still not going to get it. But Krishna is supreme friend, supreme enjoyer, and supreme proprietor. So again, do not feel hesitant. And one last thing, I was thinking, where would you shift a lot of your wealth? Is if you want to buy a property. If you want to buy a property, it takes a lot of thousands of pounds. But then again, this property, in the Bible it says something nice. It says, store up yourself treasures on earth. If you do, the moth and rust will destroy. And where thieves will break in and they will steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, neither the moth nor rust will destroy, and thieves will not break in or steal. Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshmana Nama, Shri Gornitai Bhagavan ki. So sometimes we're so concerned with our property and our living conditions in this life, when there is an eternal home, spiritual kingdom. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion he can enter into the kingdom of God. So when you give to the Lord, It is not no loss there. And one more example I thought where you can give money easily is when you're satisfied with what you already have. If you're already satisfied with your quota, and if you get extra, you'll be easily able to give. But if you have greed, you won't able to let go. One of the examples of greed is they have these like monkey cages, and in these monkey traps, and they have a hole which is as big as the hand to fit in, and they put fruits in there. And then what happens is the monkey puts his hand in and then he can't get out. The monkey hasn't got sense to let go, so then he remains trapped, and ultimately death captures the hunter or whoever the person is will come. But if we give and we let go, we will be satisfied. Krishna says, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, and he becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. This is because of higher taste. And when you give to the Lord, as that fruit vendor did, she had some fruits and selling, and give to the Lord always reciprocates and gives more. But he doesn't just give a little bit back. He filled a whole basket with jewels. So we have to give without hesitance. Bali Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada says, Bali Maharaj decided without hesitance to give the Lord whatever he wanted. Krishna's final instruction, Sarva Dharma Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarve Papebhyo Mokshayami Ma Suchaha. He says, Ma Suchaha, do not fear. If you look into the purport, it says, do not hesitate. There's also another explanation for this. Do not hesitate, just surrender. Srila Prabhupada quotes here, your duty is to surrender unto him, and without any reservation, dedicate your life to his service. Then Krishna will save you without a doubt. Doubts. So I myself was a telemarketer. I used to sell insurances, mainly house insurances and secured loans on houses. And most people, when I talk to them, they were pretty impressed with any product. I genuinely used to explain to them what it is, generally. But when it comes to getting the credit card details on the phone, there were doubts at this point, when it was about, whoa, okay, I liked hearing about it, I liked hearing all this wonderful insurance philosophy, but when it comes to giving, so I've listed down which doubts, why are the doubts coming, when I used to sell loans and get credit cards. So one problem is not convinced of the product, but that was sometimes happening. They're not convinced of the product, they're not convinced of the method of payment. That, oh, what, you want me to pay, like, what, now? Can I not pay after? I'm like, no, you have to pay now, you know. It's like, you pay now, I'll set the insurance up. You don't pay, you're not going to be insured. They're worried about fraud. And they're worried also because other websites are saying not to give these details out. Don't give details to strangers. So this is another problem I used to have. They were quoting this to me. I said, don't worry, I'm not a stranger, I'm your friend. No? They're not sure about the person asking. They're having doubts with me. There's also competition with other insurances. So I'm not going to give you. And not sure about, they're not sure about the reputation of the company. And sometimes they were not also sure about what their partner would think as well. So I just wanted to just compare that with Krishna consciousness, that what doubts they are. We say not convinced of the product. So maybe we're not fully sure that Krishna consciousness is the real thing. Maybe there's some doubt there. I don't know if I want, not only I'm not sure if I want Krishna consciousness, forget about giving money to then spread the Krishna consciousness movement for others. I'm not even sure for myself if I want this. So this is a doubt about the product. Not convinced of the method of payment. Maybe we're not convinced that we need to give our wealth to Krishna. Maybe there is some conviction there. Maybe there is lack of conviction there. Maybe there's some other doubts. It could be for whatever reason. This is for yourself to explore. And maybe there's been problems. Maybe there's problems in the past. Maybe you're scared of the economy. Maybe there's, when I talk about giving wealth, I'm also talking about giving ourselves as well. But there is some lack of conviction. Worried about fraud. So we're worried about fraud. Maybe we've been cheated many times. Maybe there's been bad history where money has been also gone wrong in International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Maybe there's history of so-called sadhus not actually being sadhus. So this is, we've been cheated many times. Then other websites are saying not to give details out when giving credit card details. But we are listening to the opinions of, maybe we're listening to the opinions of many other misers. Maybe we're listening to the opinions of many people who are cheated. Maybe within the group of the association of devotees, we're not selecting devotees who are very surrendered. Maybe we're taking the opinions of just the general mass of people and not actually taking the opinions of ones who are following. Not sure about the person asking. So maybe when I used to sell the loans, people wouldn't have no lack of conviction in myself. But maybe here, what we see is actually Srila Prabhupada who is begging alms. Srila Prabhupada is begging alms to help push on this International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And he would confidently ask for money. They'd go and try to buy a house. And when he tried to go buy a house, building, what he would actually do is, they'd say, well, you know, how about 200,000 pound building? And he was like, no. They were £180,000. Prabhupada were like, we want it for free. Yeah? This is Srila Prabhupada. So he's the one who's actually begging. So maybe we have lack of faith when it comes to helping. Competition, of course, there's competition between sense gratification and Krishna consciousness. But then this can also, I will go into a little bit more because I know when it comes to money, it's not always black and white. So I will get time to cover that bit. And we're not sure about the reputation of the company. When I'm selling a loan on the phone, they're not sure because I've never heard of your company. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're like Legal and General. We're like one of the companies. We're this, we're that. But maybe they're not sure. But maybe then we need to look into the reputation of what this Vaishnava Sampradaya is. And if you look at the Vaishnava Sampradaya reputation, it's pretty exalted. From Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj to Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, going back to the whole Vaishnava Sampradaya, it is worth investing in. And that's something definitely worth to look at. So the doubts are there. And what will doubts do generally? They'll leave one in unhappiness. Krishna says, ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world or the next. So I was just thinking, so how do we get strength to give? So one way we can have strength to give is by hearing more about Krishna, hearing more about his devotees, hearing how appreciative Krishna is. Putna gives poison to Krishna and he gives her salvation. I mean, she becomes a nurse or something in the spiritual world. So wasn't that a nice appreciation? That's appreciative. That, okay, I'll forget about giving all my wealth. Even if I give something to Krishna, he's going to appreciate. This should give us faith then to make the full investment. If we hear more about the residents of Vrindavan, we'll see that they're fully giving their complete selves. Can we imagine if coward boys or gopis, a gopi meets another gopi and saying, go, let's go see Krishna. And she's like, you know what, I will, not today, I want to go cinemas or something, you know, or I want to do my own thing today. She's like, no, come on, let's go see Krishna. No, not today. It's twisted, it doesn't quite fit right, it's not. This isn't the real mood. So another thing, how we get strength to give, according to this verse, how we can give to the Lord, is by understanding the problems of miserliness. Maybe we haven't got a full understanding of sinful life. Maybe we think gross, the four regulated principles, if I follow that, that's it. There's no reaction. But even the food we eat, everything is binding us. Prabhupada gives an example of a rope. To make a rope, you need like three strands, and you plait it, and then three of those intertwine with another, and then like that, and then that all intertwines, and then that rope becomes solid. Those rope is the modes of nature. Guna also means ropes. It means, that's another meaning for gunas, that it ropes. So more we're actually using things for ourselves, more we're becoming more bound. And so we have dropped, come into this material world, and we've become forgetful. Maybe we've even smashed a few bones, spiritual bones or something. But when you see in the x-ray, you will then see what actual damage has been done and how you can get better. It's the same way the Shastra, the Guru, the Sadhus, they can see. It's like an x-ray. You will be able to see your condition and you will be able to get cured if you have this. And now last point I want to make is proof is in the pudding. Sometimes you have to make the leap first. It's when you buy a plane ticket, you give the money first, you pay for it, and then you assume that, okay, they're going to take me to my destination. So when Shastra is saying to give yourselves in charity, dedicate our existence to the Supreme Lord, you then have faith that this will actually take us to the spiritual world. Being a scholar is good. If you don't understand lots of philosophy, it's very hard to also become surrendered. But if you just gather on more and more philosophy, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be surrendered. There were so many smarter brahmanas in Krishna's time. But when it came to down to the crunch and Krishna saying, me and my coward boys are hungry, now give. Then they were like, no, you're disturbing us. But the wives of the brahmanas, they gave. So we can have so much philosophy that we actually hear, but then it has to be put in application. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj once gave a big class. For like 4-hour class or something, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would give. And you can imagine how powerful these classes were. And at the end, everyone was like, yes, Swamiji, so nice, so nice. And then standing up and then started walking. He goes, where are you going? Where are you going? Because if you've really understood it, even if your house is on fire, you should know that it doesn't matter. So anyway, these are just a few examples. So now I've talked a lot about giving wealth. So how much wealth? So I have myself, I can't remember the exact quote, so you can put it in your own understanding, but I've read 3 different things. One is at least 50%. Once I have read this. Once I read up to 50%. And I've also read whatever portion to Krishna. So this is for one to do in their own lives. Work out how much. Is it after tax? Before tax? Is it after expenditure? Is it after everything's paid for? And does the money mean you have to give to the temple? Or does the money mean that you can do a nice sangha in your house and spend that money for the devotees come to your house? Maybe that's what it is. So these are all the things that can be... it takes sincerity and intelligence. Srila Prabhupada says here, when you apply your intelligence towards utilizing the matter for Krishna's pleasure, your life is successful. Whereas when you apply the same intelligence for your sense gratification, you become entangled in material nature and you will feel anxiety. One great example of someone who gave was Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu was in Prabhupada's time and he would be the first one in the temple. Then he would serve all of the devotees in whatever way he can. He'd buy them whatever he can as well. He'd be very caring as well. Even when they're sleeping, he'd put a gulab jamun in their mouth or something. It was very caring. And then he would go into his taxi. Then he would work all day, and then he would give the money back to Prabhupada, and then he would then be the last one to leave the temple. So he's one of good example of this type of right mentality of just giving. And there's one story, I'll just finish on this story, that Jayananda Prabhu would spend money easily for devotees and spreading the Krishna conscious movement, which was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. But the devotees were saying, come on, you know, you need some better trousers. You know, you're wearing like ragged trousers. He was like, no, these are okay. He goes, no, seriously, buy yourselves some nice trousers. So then he still, I think he went to a cheap shop, but still the trousers were at least $10. And then he couldn't, how can you spend this much money for myself? So he stole them. He took them, but devotees aren't necessarily the best criminals. And he got caught. Devotees are like cowboys sometimes when it comes to these things. So he got caught, and then the guard grabbed him, and then he went to court. And then in court they asked, you know, they accused him, they were about ready to sentence, and then Jayananda Prabhu had an opportunity to just say something. Well, can you explain yourself? And he explained, you know, I'm a monk, and I'm just, it's very difficult for me to spend money on myself, you know, they're so expensive, and like that. And everyone was so moved that the person who caught him, the security guard, he stood up. And he goes, I'll pay for the trousers. You know? And then anyway, they let him go. So how much you give, to what project you give, what you give, the point is, give. And at the time of death, it will become obvious how good your bhajan and how good your mentality was. Sorry, I'm speaking in a sense of saying you should give on this. I should use the word one should give. It's just the passion of being on the Vyasa San. So I'd just like to thank everyone very much for listening. A.C. Bhaktivananta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jagat Guru Ki! Any comments or questions? We just have one question. Okay.